Today on Doomed, the hunt for Red Bottober. That's right, everybody. Today on the show, we are talking bots. Social media bots. The bots you've probably heard so much about. One second. I got some sort of... What am I playing this? This always happens to me. I got double the... I had the YouTube running, and I got double the sounds in my head. Unbelievable.
We'll I'm edit always, it out for like, the podcast. This is interesting because I watch a lot of like Twitch streams and stuff like that.
It's always happening, right?
To see how it like looks on the back end, you know.
Always happens, right? All right, yep. So let's get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. On the show, we've got Josh Russell. He is a data analyst by day, bot hunter by night. Let's pull him up on the screen. I'm a mess. Always happens. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Kind of busy.
I hear you. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm glad you're able to join us before the midterms, you know?
Yeah, totally. Happy to be here.
Right. So, we're talking bots today. I messed up the intro, but that's fine. We're talking bots today. So, Josh... Let's get right to it. Let's first start with this. How did you become a bot hunter? How did this become who you are? Did you choose the bot hunter life, or did the bot hunter life choose you?
I kind of ran into it kind of accidentally, right? So like there was a CNN report that came out, and it listed, I didn't believe the whole, Russia thing, that Russia had like interfered in the elections. Right. I couldn't like go get online and see any of this information that all of these media outlets were talking about. But there was a report that came out, and it listed a social media account name. The account name was like Blacktivist or something like that. Right. So I just decided to start, Googling that account and looking up all the like internet archive history, anything related to that account that I could like find online. And one thing led to another, and like a year later I'm writing like my own Python scripts to hunt down bots on Twitter, and I'm doing all this research on these different like Russian troll accounts that were on Facebook and Reddit and stuff like that. And it's just something I kind of got real curious about a year ago, and I dove right into it basically.
So, you know, when you go out searching for bots, you know, as a bot hunter, I'm assuming, you know, that's obviously what you do. You know, do you usually, you know, because it's interesting to me, because this is something that you think, you know, maybe if we were having this conversation 2 to 3 years ago, or even before that, obviously, people wouldn't exactly be thinking we're talking about this in a political context. But things have changed since 2016. I mean, obviously these bots have been around for before that, but I think, you know, the general public became aware of just how much propaganda is being boosted, really, by whether it be foreign or domestic. Just how much out there is being boosted by automated social media accounts.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. So, you know, I know exactly what you're saying in the context of, you still run across your run-of-the-mill spam bots. A lot of the new ones that I run across lately have been cryptocurrency promoting bots, which are essentially the same thing as a spam bot, right? But then... lately, we've ran into these instances of different government or commercial interests running bots that they're not necessarily complicated, right? They're just doing exactly what you said. The bots just go out and they look for a hashtag related to whatever they want to promote at that moment, and they retweet whoever's tweeting that hashtag. And it's as simple as that. And, you know, it kind of like... what they're doing is just, you know, promoting a narrative that they want to push to the top of Twitter, essentially.
Right.
So, So, like going out and like finding these bots, you don't always immediately pull them right up. Most of the bots that I run across are going to be spam bots and stuff like that. And it's really hard for me to kind of attribute these bots to a government entity that might be running a propaganda campaign or something like that. So that's where I kind of like depend on a journalist, someone to go ask Twitter, their press office, say, what were these bots doing? Were these bots related to this or that? And then we'll get some type of like confirmation on where the bots came from or who might have been running them. And most of the time, Twitter's just going to tell you they're junk spam bots. But
Right.
every once in a while, you hit some good ones.
Right. So let's
Some
talk.
really interesting ones.
So let's talk about those good ones. Let's talk about the bots that are actually set up, not to promote, erectile dysfunction pills. When we'll get to interesting. Josh recently actually was one of my experts, one of my sources for a story I wrote for Mashable. I believe I brought it up on the last episode of Doomed about the pro-Saudi Twitter bots. And we'll get to that shortly. But the name of this episode is called The Hunt for Red Bottober. So we gotta start with the Russia-related bots. So what's some of the more interesting, juicy bots that you've come across? That, when it comes to it, and I've had Adam Johnson on this show in one of the earlier episodes of from Citations Needed podcast, and we spoke in great detail about the whole Democrats laser focus at the time, at least. I feel like they've moved away from that throughout the year, just a laser focus on just Russia, 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 and pushing this narrative. And for me and Adam, it was a bit crazy because even with the midterms coming up, that really wasn't they should have really isn't what they should be running on. There's things that get people out to vote, right? Let people like
It's an
Josh,
interesting thing, but it's not like going to drive people to the polls to vote, you know?
right.
So.
Let people like Josh hassle the social networks and get these bots taken off. Democrats, you guys should be focusing on, things like healthcare for everybody, Medicare for all, fun things like that. But when we spoke, we discussed just how, obviously there are, the United States takes part in the propaganda pushing too. We're all, every country has their, none of them are innocent. But when talking about the US elections in this context, and basically was really brought the issue of these bots pushing this propaganda to, like I just said, to the general public's knowledge, really was Russia's involvement in 2016. And, I'm assuming that's really what we were just talking, what got you into it, Josh. I'm assuming that was
Yeah,
the
it was
jump off
definitely
point for
the
you, right?
most interesting thing, to go back and look at the types of things that they actually used bots for before the 2016 election, right? And so the types of things that they used them for aren't exactly what every single person on that responds to my Twitter account wants me to look up MAGA something, whatever. Person that annoys them and responds to them constantly, right? And those aren't Russians. That's not how they operate. And when I go back and look at the things that they did, a lot of the stuff was kind of weird, right? They set up bots in like 2013 to go out and tweet about the events in Ukraine, right? They would set up like 10,000 bots that targeted a Ukrainian audience, and they started their tweets out with like some English tweets, but then they quickly switched into sending out links to LiveJournal because most of the Russian accounts that ta got tagged on Twitter ended up being from LiveJournal. They started out as like LiveJournal trolls for some reason. I have no idea why. It had to do with Crimea and the invasion of, Ukraine and everything like that.
I actually know could give you a little bit of info on this. From my understanding, actually. And I don't remember where I read this, but it's something I read a long time ago. And by a long time ago, I just mean a couple, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, in the context of our discussion a long time ago. Apparently, LiveJournal is really big still in Russia.
That's crazy.
it's like something that's used just as much over there now as it was used here in the 90s by people like me, who, as a high school student, was daily live journaling, giving everyone who wanted to read all my juicy high school drama details.
Yep,
and
yep.
By everyone who wanted to read, I mean my friends in high school at the time. Nobody else.
Well, like, you know, when the Internet Research Agency, like, hires these people are just, like, regular, fresh out of college, you know, kids that they don't exactly know what they're getting into, right? They apply for a job at advertisement that says blogger needed, right? And so they go to work and they get a set number of topics that they need to cover, whatever, for that day. And then they'll, you know, they have, like, an American department, a domestic department. They have different departments for like different areas that they use. So, you know, they kind of hire like, they just hire like bloggers to go out and they just give them talking points to go out and talk about. In the context of bots, you know, a lot of work that I do, I can't really go out and say that a Twitter account is 100% a bot. I can say that I'm very suspect of it. So, like, for the when Twitter gave that list of like 2,800 accounts to Congress and they released it publicly, I kind of took that list and I just started looking up hashtags on very specific dates to find accounts that were left over that Twitter didn't catch the first round. And I think as far as American looking ones, I found like a couple thousand of those. Most of the accounts I found have targeted other countries. So it's kind of like a process of working backwards to see what Twitter didn't pull off of the network. And then you can kind of use that to get a general feel for what new accounts they might be running or how they would look. And like I said, they weren't like a huge sophisticated network. They're not using like AI or anything crazy like that. These things are just scripted to retweet certain hashtags, or they have a preset quote database that kind of access and send random stuff out. It's kind of weird.
Right. So when you come across what you assume is a, well, you start by finding a bot, and then you discover, or you would look for a network connected to that bot, or do you just sort of come across, just all these bots at once and the bot network's right there?
Well, my kind of like workflow is that, I'll see interesting stuff on Twitter, right? And I'll think, oh man, this kind of, I'll say, here's someone says it sounds, the amount of tweets related to this hashtag sounds unnatural. So I'll just kind of jump on there and do a hashtag search, pull the data with the API, and I'll notice like 3 or 4 accounts, right, that look very similar. And I'll go check and see what those accounts were up to. And then I'll just start pulling all that related data for what those accounts were doing, right? And that can like expand that 3 or 4 accounts out to like 40,000 bots or something like that. It can get really out of hand really fast. So it just, that's my usual like, and when I say, when I'm on Twitter and I'm tweeting out about a bot network, that's kind of what I mean. Bot network as in a bunch of related accounts that were created in the same time frame. And they all kind of have like the same Twitter stats, the number of tweets, the friends, the followers, the likes, and generally they'll have like a, it won't always be exactly the same, but it'll be some type of like relative location data that's really close to what they, you know, the other accounts.
Right. And so when you look for these bots, what are the social media, what platforms would you say are bot networks most prevalent on?
Yeah, for sure, Twitter. I mean, those, right. It's the easiest one to make a bot on. There's millions of documents on out there about how to make a Python Twitter bot and set it up. You can set one up and have it run on like Google, I think, using like Google Docs or something like that. It's crazy. There's literally a million ways to run a Twitter bot, and it's all very well documented.
I know you can set one up really easily just using that service, IFTTT. And literally, you just create an account, do the old like connect the your account to your IFTTT account, like just by going through the, click here to log in with your Twitter account, and then you just could. They already have, they call it on their recipes. I don't know if they still call it recipes.
Yeah,
but they call it like a recipe, and it basically just explains like connect your Twitter account to your, I don't know, RSS feed, and it'll automatically tweet out everything that you, every time a link pops up in your RSS.
So that's like the real lazy man's method.
Right.
And that's, you see that pop up a lot for, conservatives that really don't want to like put a whole lot of time into making a botnet. We'll make like 20 or 30 accounts on Twitter and then set them all up with that service and just have them retweeting a set number of things that they want to retweet. It's kind of like phoning it in, basically. The bots I like, there's a couple different styles of bots, right? There are bots that bypass the Twitter API, which are the most interesting to me, is, how are they actually sending out these posting these tweets without having API access or like a app developer account on Twitter.
Right. And just so people could understand this, if you set up an account using and you run your Twitter account bot through an API, you literally just like, set it up on some sort of hosting platform, and you can shut down your computer, leave, not go online, not even take a look at it. Not have anything running at home, and this bot will exist. It'll whatever you set it up to do using Twitter's API, it'll tweet, it'll retweet, it'll push out whatever. But also Twitter is aware that this account is using the API.
It's very obvious on the back end. So when you're looking at API data that you pull from Twitter, it says tweet source on there, right? And it'll tell you exactly what application that tweet actually came from.
Right. So Twitter's aware there's not a person doing those tweets.
Yes.
But as you just mentioned, there are bots that are using, they're not using the API access, which means they have some sort of system where it's a good chance, actually, there's probably other ways too where you could run it without your computer being on, but very likely there is an open computer in whoever set this up. That whoever set this up owns, and their computer's open, and it's set up in a way where using Twitter for web, like using the Twitter in the browser, it is automatically tweeting or retweeting or following or liking or whatever. And Twitter, because of the fact that it's not using the API, can't tell if there's they could probably guess like you do if there's an automated system behind it, but they can't be sure of it. There could be a person who is tweeting that stuff from that account.
Yeah, so the Russians got away for a long time with what they did because they kind of used that. So early on, their like early worst, really bad accounts were just straight API bots, right? But then they kind of switched over, and most of the accounts that we saw released from Congress, those ended up being kind of a mix, right? So they would let them send out tweets from a quote database, but someone would log in there every once in a while and just like send one or two tweets out just to like just as kind of like a sign of life, right? To kind of like prove that the account shouldn't go away because it doesn't look completely automated.
Right.
And, those, I have no idea how they run these bots. Truthfully, I suspect they're doing them on Android somehow, but I haven't really like figured this whole thing out, right? And generally, I just don't have time. Most of the time, once I find a large bot network and it's worth reporting on, I end up answering so many calls and emails and DMs from press that I don't have time to like really figure out who's in control of the bots or anything like that. I just put the info out and hopefully someone else figures it out.
Right. I mean, but when it comes down to it, really, you're never really going to, at least with the information that someone like you or me or anyone who's doing this who doesn't work for the platforms that it's actually running on, I would say it'd probably be very difficult, if not impossible, to really get down to who's doing this, unless this person or these persons who run this specific bot network that you come across left some sort of identifying material in like their profile or the email they used to sign up or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, we're kind of, that's where we're dependent on these platforms to kind of be transparent about the what happened in, you know, something, what happened in 2016 or what's happening now with these Saudi accounts or Iranian accounts or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I think having people like me out there talking about this stuff over and over and over and repeatedly, just constantly hitting on it, it kind of gets people to, or platforms to kind of like open up a little bit and say, you know, this is why we think these are Russian accounts, or, you know, I can't really say for sure whether or not it, you know, who runs it. Like I said, only they have the IP addresses, you know. They have all that data on the back end. I don't. And I don't have access to any of that stuff.
Right. And I know, and I think you might have mentioned it already. I actually, just to remind everybody who, if I didn't already, I spoke with you very recently for a piece. And so I'm trying to remember, did I ask this during this conversation that's recorded and people are listening to? Or did I ask this when it was just me and Josh talking on the phone? So let me just ask this anyway, regardless of whether I already mentioned it. Now, these people who work for the platforms, like Twitter, they are familiar with you. They know what you're doing. And so they follow you. So they're able to really track what you're tracking as you're tracking it.
Yeah. So, and that's one of the things that, you know, I want these bots or this political, you know, disinformation removed from the platform. And that's really like my ultimate goal, right, is to get the number of bots reduced on Twitter and to just like raise awareness. But, you know, I also want to be able to talk to people like you and point out an account and say, hey, this account's doing this, and I can prove it because of these reasons here. Here's some sample accounts. But generally, they ban them almost immediately if I post them publicly. So they watch my accounts.
Right. So that actually sort of hinders your you know, data analysis of these accounts too, because the second they boot them off, whatever you haven't already grabbed from these accounts is long gone.
Yeah, it's a definite like catch-22, you know, when you want to like help out everything and make things better on a platform. I'm a constant Twitter user. I'm sure you've seen me retweet millions of things all day long. So I want to make the place better, but, you know, I also still want to be able to look in an account and try to analyze what it was actually doing, at least for 5 minutes before they jump in there and suspend them immediately.
Right. So Theo on YouTube asks, does someone pay him to do this? Now, I know your work from following you. We've actually been in touch for, you know, just a little back and forth on Twitter a few times over the past few months. And I know this is like your hobby, and you know, this is your role as an activist and someone who cares for these platforms and how politics and news is talked about in the public conversations. But I don't think you get paid for this, right? This is just something you do, right?
No, this is just something I do. It's my one of like three jobs, you know, like one pays and the other two don't. So there's, you know, my normal day job. And then at night and usually in the morning before work, I'll put in a, you know, a couple hours, something like that, on looking for either bots or like really worthwhile pieces of disinformation and things like that. Right. And then the next one that's popped up is like punditry or whatever you want to call it, where you do a podcast and news interviews and give people like your opinion about what, you know, the Russians may or may not be doing, which is kind of weird because I don't, that's not like, I can kind of, I've seen a lot of Russian propaganda, right? So I kind of know what they're probably going to be doing, but I can't really like, I'm not in charge of any of this these platforms, so I can't, you know, I have, they could be doing anything. I don't
Right.
know.
Well, I hope I'm giving you a different interview than all those other outlets,
No, yeah, I love
knowing
this.
what you
This is fun.
know. Yeah, because I want everyone should know. I mean, Theo just said in the YouTube chat, "Oh shit, he's the guy from that CNN article." So I think
That
people.
CNN article was like crazy huge. So I had so many people contact me after that. I had
I gotta
people.
say, I like I said, I know you from before that, so I'm unfamiliar with the CNN article. What is the CNN article?
So CNN sent a camera crew out for a couple days right before I went on vacation. They sent a camera crew out for Declassified, right? And they basically interviewed me for like 2 days while I sat in my living room or like set up my keyboard, and I showed them like actual live bots on Twitter and that kind of stuff. And then CNN, they put out like two videos on Facebook. Apparently it's going to be, yeah, it's like it
I
was
missed
huge.
this. I missed it.
There's a bunch of videos out there they put like just exclusively on Facebook, and I think that there's going to be an episode of Declassified maybe that will have me in it. And
No,
there was
I.
a huge article that was syndicated like worldwide, and then the next day they had me like live on some brand, I don't remember the lady's name, but it was some random TV show that's on during the day, and they just slapped me on there live, which was completely like nerve-wracking as could be.
I gotta say, listen, I want everyone to know this. I usually, when I book a guest, I look into this stuff. But because I was familiar with who you were and we had spoken, I'd spoken to you online. I don't know when the first time was, but I know we spoke when I wrote that article about the bot network I uncovered for the outline. And then I just spoke with you last week about the pro Saudi accounts, which we'll get to soon. So I was just like, I'm familiar with Josh. I don't gotta look at you. I know who he is. I know who he is.
Yeah, they've done like a million profiles of me. I was on like
I mean, I've seen the NPR one. I've seen the NPR one. That one I'm familiar with when you were on
Oh, there's
NPR.
like a bunch more. There's like a whole, they did, all kinds of people did them. They interviewed me for like Voice of America. I think it was Voice of America, which is like America's European like
Propaganda outlet.
propaganda outlet
Right.
that they
Their
push into
RT.
Russia, right?
They're
Like, I
Russia
was kind of
Today.
scared about this because they did the whole thing and then converted it over into like Russian, right? And transcribed it, and then they put it on their Russian language website. But then I talked to the journalist that did it the next day, and she said it was pretty like well received and all that. So, I've been all over the place. I've done so many different random things.
So now that I know this, though, I gotta when I promote the podcast that comes from this episode, I gotta make sure that I promote it as seen on CNN's Declassified.
Something like that,
All right,
yeah.
yeah.
So.
So let's get to I wanted to start with the you know I don't think it was too technical, but more of like, you know, the basics of what you do and what you know, what you your workflow when you uncover a bot. And you know, it's certainly interesting to me, but for the broader audience, I think we're about to get into the really juicy stuff. And this is I want to talk with you about specific bot networks you've uncovered. And let's get to now this one's not on Twitter. This one we were just talking about before we went live. And that is the Reddit bot network that you uncovered. And to me, this is really interesting because Reddit is, and I wrote an article for Mashable not too long ago, basically making the case that Reddit, you know, the next time Congress calls Twitter and Facebook and Google to come to a hearing, there's no reason why Reddit shouldn't be joining them because Reddit is the fifth most trafficked website
It's huge.
in,
How do they not?
right.
How are they not there? I don't understand this.
Right, it is the fifth most trafficked website in the world.
Yeah.
It is extremely popular. The thing is, though, that unlike Facebook and Twitter, Reddit, I guess, never really had its. I mean, it has had a few moments where, you know, with the jailbait subreddit when Anderson Cooper was on CNN going off on them, for that. You know, it has had its mainstream moments, but. You know, where Facebook is used by people of all ages, and it's been being used more and more by the audience that watches cable news, the older demographic. And,
definitely.
You know, Twitter's audience is very much made up by the media and the political world. So being that, you know, you have politicians and journalists and reporters and the people who basically make the news for the day on that platform, whenever something happens on there, of course it's going to blow up because they're the ones who are all seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Reddit has this mostly, you know, extremely young internet savvy audience that, while enormous, as we just said, I guess aren't really the type of people who have a say in what topics we talk about in the news cycle each day.
Yeah, so Reddit is this weird kind of space where it's mostly, you know, regular internet, younger regular internet users that are almost the majority of the user base for Reddit. And it doesn't, you know, the things that happen on there, even though it's, the, like you said, it's the most fifth most popular site on the internet, it's it doesn't, you know, the crazy things that happen on there sometimes just don't make it into the news. You know, part of like working on what you were talking about, the those Russian accounts, is like just me constantly tweeting about, hey guys, you need to pay attention here, there are you know, Russian accounts operating on Reddit that they have not talked about yet. Someone needs to cover this. So it's kind of like that thing, right? Where like I constantly hit on it, just trying to get it like exposed, basically.
Right. So what did you uncover on Reddit? What's going on Reddit?
So the main thing was the transparency report from that they put out last year. Where they listed like that 1,000 accounts, right? There was like 900 or so accounts that were that they admitted to being Russian accounts on Reddit. And how that kind of like worked out was that I knew about maybe 8 Russian domain names, right?
Right.
And I used those 8 Russian domain names to do like a Reddit API search, and I figured out who these like 5 or 6 accounts that consistently posted those domains to specific subreddits over and over again.
Right. So when you say Russian domain names, you mean domains that would go to websites that I guess were pushing whatever the Russian internet agency or intelligence firm, whatever they wanted to push.
Hiltendo, the Hillary Clinton flash game that they made.
Oh,
that
right, was one right, of them. Right, right. Okay.
Yeah. That was me.
Okay.
They had a couple to play with Hillary, I think was the name of the other URL. They had made a flash-based video game that they were promoting on Reddit. The
big
Russians
Hillary,
did.
Big Hillary fans, those guys are.
Yeah. For some reason,
love her.
I don't know
just
why.
Love her. Yeah.
Just love her. Just can't stop talking about her. it's like never ending with them. It's so easy to find, you know, Russian accounts, Syria and Hillary Clinton over and over again. So when I say URL, what I mean is a good example is like blackmattersus.com, right? So it turns out when you look at the IP addressing and where this site is actually hosted at, it's hosted by this company called GreenFloyd, which is like a virtual private networking service for ITL Networks, right, which is a Ukrainian company.
And if you heard that, you know, someone said that domain name to you, you would assume, oh, it must be a website belonging to a Black Lives Matter activist in the U.S. Right.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, it turns out this wasn't at all the case. And the site is being ran out of the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg. And so, you know, to find these accounts on Reddit, it was just as simple as, you know, doing a slash domain search, seeing what accounts constantly posted it over and over again. Right. And so I kind of like expanded my list out based on that. And I had maybe a list of like 30 or 40 accounts that I suspected were Russian, and I would keep posting about them and posting about them. And then the Joker.buzz screenshots came out And what that was is that apparently once in 2014 and once in 2016, the Internet Research Agency was hacked and their files were offered on a website called Joker.buzz for auction, and no one bought them.
What? How much were they asking for?
I don't know. It was in rubles, so no clue.
Ah, and if I knew about that, maybe I would have
I know.
I would have tossed a
I'd
few
throw a,
t tossed a
throw a
few
couple bucks
rubles
at it.
that tossed a few rubles their way. Yeah, I mean, would have certainly been a scoop.
Yeah. So, like, they put screenshots up though to prove what kind of data the hackers had, right? Well, in the screenshots they posted one screenshot that had in Russian it said Reddit and Tumblr always VPN. And then it listed IP addresses of what VPN they needed to connect to. Well, the IP addresses that it listed were the same as Green Floyd LLC, the one that hosted Black Matters US.com. So it was like, it was that easy, right? So
Sort of lazy on their part, right? I mean,
yeah, I just had to like put two and two together and go, oh, well, just I told Ben, when he was at Daily Beast, I was like, dude, just send him this screenshot and say, well, here's their IP addresses. How many accounts are there?
Right,
And then
right.
they immediately, it was like 3 or 4 days later when they were like, yeah, there were like 900 accounts here.
Right. Now when that you mentioned the Reddit transparency report, you know, when an interesting thing to me is in that report, they mention, I believe, if not in the report specifically, the blog post was that one and the same, the blog post and the report, or was there a separate blog post? Well, it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, they're kind of the same.
They mentioned that, you know, they actually shut down a lot of these accounts in the beginning of the election season in 2015. Like in the when I say being election season, when we're working with a presidential election like we were in 2016, usually the candidate when the candidates start coming out is the previous summer, you know, in 2015.
Yeah.
So they were saying that they caught this stuff in 2015 for the 2016 election, yet they came out with it, with the report, how much later?
They didn't catch anything. Reddit doesn't do anything unless someone makes them. That's plain and simple. And, you know,
so you're saying those accounts that they say they caught in 2015, they're not telling the truth, or that they caught the accounts but didn't do anything?
I don't exactly know what they did. I know that they did turn off accounts beforehand, right?
Right.
They'll do this kind of like shadow. It's, I hate the word shadow ban, but you know, it's kind of what Reddit calls it when they the admins delete an account, but they don't suspend it, right? And
right.
That means that they're either, and they'll do that a lot with like spam accounts, or they're. Or the other option is they're hiding something.
Right. Most people probably see this when they go to click on a Reddit, the comments part of a Reddit link, and they see that it says maybe like 25 comments, and they click comments, but for some reason they only see like 5 or 6 comments.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
says there's 25 comments, but publicly visible, there's only 5 or 6. The other accounts that commented are being shadow banned.
Yeah. So when you go, like, if you're doing, if you're looking at Reddit using like domain, right, the slash domain way to look at, to see all the different subs where a domain's been submitted to, you'll see the username there and you'll be able to click it. But when you click it, nothing comes up. It just returns a 404, which means that the user's been shadow banned, basically, right?
Right.
Because there's another, the user can delete their account or the user can get suspended.
Right.
And those are two different results, you
now,
know?
Now, one thing I like that Reddit, before I forget, one thing that I like that Reddit did when they put out this transparency report that I hope that every social media platform follows is that they kept the accounts archived for people to view so they could, excuse me, so they could pour into this data and see exactly how popular these submitted posts and links were. They can see what subreddits these accounts were most active in. And using this, actually, I thought what was really interesting to me was while the majority of the accounts weren't, you know, weren't very successful in getting a lot of upvotes and attention to their submitted material, I would say the ones that were, though, were really successful. Like, they got a lot more, like, yeah, interaction and engagement than I would say even the successful Twitter bots and Twitter accounts pushing this disinformation usually receive.
Yeah, the ones that did get attention, they were definitely in very interesting, you know. And, you know, that's kind of how it goes with these accounts. They'll, Russia will make accounts on a platform, and then they'll just try different things with that account, constantly trying to, like, build an audience, right? And that's why you see them, like, posting, like, cat memes, right? On Reddit or whatever. They're trying to build, like, they're trying to get, you know, internet points and build an audience and get people to pay attention to them. And then they'll kind of, like, switch over after that. They'll kind of roll with whatever theme that account has been assigned by the internet research agency's upper management or whatever the case may be. But yeah, Reddit was definitely the first. They were, you know, even though they tried to hide it a lot, they were definitely the first major platform to actually get off their butt and put a piece of evidence out that everyone can go, a really good transparent list of accounts where everyone could go look at what these accounts were doing. That way, you know, I like when platforms do that, and I've advocated it for a lot, and I really wish Facebook would do it, because you get, there are a lot of really low quality articles that come out on the internet about what the Russians did in 2016. And the people writing these articles or where they're getting this research from is just garbage. I don't know who, where they're getting this stuff from. They're just kind of like making it up out of the ether. But now that, now that we have, like, you know, Reddit has done their transparency report, and Twitter has put out the huge database of what the IRA was doing on Twitter in 2016. I think that will squash some of those, like, you know, kind of like low, not very well researched articles that come out pretty consistently.
You just mentioned the Iran accounts. That's sort of like, you know, that was sort of, you know, on a much smaller scale, would you say, than the, obviously, the Russian bots, but I would say even on a smaller scale than maybe even what we saw just recently with the pro-Saudi tweets.
Mm-hmm. So the Iranian stuff hasn't all, they haven't done a transparency report on Reddit about that just yet, right? They did a like blog post, and they gave us like 5 sample accounts. And then they gave us a total number of accounts. I can't remember how many it was. It wasn't on par with what the Russians were doing. But the really surprising thing about the Iranian accounts is that they had been operational on Reddit for quite a while. So the Russians had like a thing where, you know, they came in for the 2016 election, right? And that was really like their big thing. The Iranians had, those accounts had been around for quite a while, and they had been posting things for a long time.
Right. Now, let me ask this. When you come across, in your experience coming across these bots, has there been a specific side that these bots tend to target? Like, are these bots mostly trying to sway and influence people on the right or people on the left?
No, they're basically, they'll cover any subject they can, right? It doesn't, I mean, it doesn't really matter to them. They're just looking to, like, sow that discord. In Russia's case, or in the Iranians' case, they are looking to advance Iran's interest right at that moment, right? So the Iranians, before Trump dropped the nuclear deal, they were mostly posting things about, like, conspiracies, right? Like Soros conspiracies or whatever the case may be. But as soon as Trump dropped that nuclear deal, they immediately switched over. The propaganda just switched like that, right? So for them, it's kind of like Iranians, you know, specific interest at that time. For the Russians, they're all over the map. They're going to use anything they can get, a couple groups to basically argue with each other online, because that's a troll's whole, like, goal, right? You know, you're out there trolling people. You want to get these two groups to argue with each other online, and just kind of like sow discord, say things, you know, they're just out there saying things like the mainstream, don't trust the mainstream media, or don't trust this, or don't trust that. And they don't really, I mean, I've seen Russian accounts cover everything. So they don't really pick a side.
Right. I've seen them tweet pro Hillary stuff, anti-Hillary stuff, pro Trump stuff, anti-Trump stuff, pro Bernie Sanders,
I've
anti-Bernie
seen
Sanders.
pro-gun, anti-gun, pro-life, anti-life. They cover both sides of every topic as best they can.
Right. Pro-life, that's not the opposite of
Sorry.
pro-life.
I'm just spitting stuff out, man.
Let's not. It's all good. Everyone knows what you were talking about.
Sorry.
But look, you know, this might—I don't know if you can really speak to this, but maybe you can actually, because you probably come across very obviously human engagement and human interaction with these bots sometimes, and maybe you can speak to this too. What I think is the real. And we'll get to the pro Saudi bots in a little bit, just to shortly talk about that, and then we'll wrap it up. But I really wanted to sort of break down what I think is important here, and that's I don't think the and you know, mentioning how the Russians' whole goal is to sow discord. I don't think the idea is that the actual content they're pushing, really is what itself sows the discord. I think most people, you know, a lot of these bots really are extremely low level. Very few really get an audience big enough to really make or shape any sort of change. But what I think, though, is that by the sheer numbers they do it in, it becomes newsworthy. And now that people know that these bots are out there, maybe this wasn't always what the Russians were going after, but this is sort of where I think it is at now. The idea that it exists itself, that there's these bots that sow discord and are looking to push disinformation, I think the idea that when I see it online, people basically saying when very clearly a real person interacts with them who disagrees with them, they automatically accuse the person of being a bot. And they don't want to engage, and they maybe block them or mute them or whatever. And I think that actually ends up being where the real trouble lies, at least at this point.
Yeah, and I'm totally in agreement there, because I see it happen on a daily basis. You know, I'll put out information, and I'll see responses to my tweets where X MAGA person X comes in and says something to, obviously, you know, he's just there to annoy people, right? And you know, the first thing someone says back to him is bot, and I'm like, no, this is not a Russian, this is not a bot. And I know it's very like meta, right? Like there's it's almost like it was so effective that they can use that as the like argument. You know, they can use that, the fact that there were Russians on the platform, to like make you distrust, they've made everyone like distrust people that disagree with them politically. And both sides end up doing it. And I can give you a couple of really good examples of that, and that were like viral things that happened in the last month, is that Planned Parenthood ran a campaign, right? And they sent out a link to all whoever's on their mailing list. And the link included a link to a website you would go to. And there was a button on the website, and you just clicked the button, and it sent out an automated tweet that had the text and the information in there already, right? So some conservative user on Reddit somewhere noticed this happening, right? And then just compiled like a huge screenshot of all the accounts sending out that same tweet, right? And so the theme with that is that these are, you can discount this opinion because it's share blue or whatever.
Right.
Or whatever, whoever they want to blame it on, like at the current moment. And those were bots. There was just people clicking on a link, and that's it. There was no I checked the accounts. There was no coordination. There was nothing that matched, you know, between any of those. And then immediately, like a month after that, there was a viral tweet about the Ted Cruz campaign had used Twitter cards to send out a tweet where it embeds like a button onto the tweet, and it's kind of like part of the ad campaigns, but it puts like a button right there on the tweet that he sent out, and you just click it and it sends out, it pre-formats the text
Right.
and adds another button, so it's like a self-replicating thing,
Like
right?
thunderclap.
Yeah, and you just hit the button and send it out, and there was a viral tweet where some random person said, was yelling about Cambridge Analytica and the Russians, and the first thing actually thought about when me and you were looking at these other bot accounts and everyone had assigned like a role to them. It's like everyone's kind of using this to discount the public opinion of the people they may not agree with online. And it gets kind of to like an extreme thing,
Right.
I have like a, I have a lot of fun doing the stuff that I do after hours, but sometimes I wonder, is it always like helpful?
Right.
Like, is what I'm doing proving that these things actually existed on these platforms? Does it actually help? Like, in the end, does it actually help? That sort of thing.
Well, I think it does.
I
So
hope
there
so.
you go.
It's
But
fun, so how about that?
no, that too. It's I find this honestly, I find it to be extremely fascinating, which is why I've spoken to you a number of times now.
Yeah.
So let's really, could you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
So let's really quickly cover this, because I think, with the way the Russian bots work and other bot networks we've spoken about, they cover so many different things, so many topics. They're running the gamut, seeing what sticks. But with these pro-Saudi tweets, and these pro-Saudi bots, I should say, who were pushing pro-Saudi tweets, I feel like it was a really interesting, eye-opening look at how this works sometimes, because it was such a specific event it was focusing on. And I think you were able to really look into a entire lifespan, like the circle of life of a bot network pushing a specific talking point. And can you speak to basically, for anyone who isn't familiar, Saudi Arabia, before they came out and admitted that they were involved, although not the crown prince, they were
Course
involved
not.
with the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. They basically, in the days where this was all coming out and it was becoming, they were feeling the pressure of people pointing the finger at them because it clearly was them. They start all of a sudden a pro-Saudi Twitter campaign started, a number of different hashtags talking highly of the crown prince and the Saudi regime started trending on Twitter, and it just obviously to smart people who've been covering this stuff like Josh looked very suspect. So take it from there, Josh.
Yeah, so I think I came across it right after the announcement was made that the 13 or 15 guys or whatever showed up, right? And I ended up going back and kind of looking at what happened before that on Twitter. And people that cover Saudi Arabia noticed it well before I did. And I just kind of saw like a trending hashtag. But I went back and looked at it, just like you said, and this actually started like 5 or 6 days before that, maybe 2 weeks before that. And journalists in that cover Saudi Arabia were actually on Twitter, and they were like, "Man, this just like feels weird, right? There's these pro regime hashtags that are suddenly trending, and it just feels odd." But no one could really like put their finger on it and say for sure that these bots were out there. And someone suggested that I followed somebody that covers, a journalist that covers Saudi Arabia. He posted a hashtag, and I just kind of like randomly looked up the accounts that were tweeting out this hashtag. And lo and behold, mixed in with all the Bonerville bots were some actual bots that sent out tweets that were pretty much exclusively pro government, right? So, like, me being just a random guy from Indiana and not knowing any Arabic, I was very dependent on other people to kind of like analyze what these hashtags meant and kind of like feed me pro-government hashtags or what's trending now. And I've kind of gotten like so far into it now that I'm doing like a trend check every day on Saudi Arabia to see what hashtags are trending. I check those hashtags to see if it looks – I can't read any of it, and Google Translate's terrible. But I kind of look at it, and I'm like, that seems fishy. I'll check it out.
Right. Let me just give people some of these examples of some of these hashtags that were trending. Obviously, gotcha. I cannot read them in Arabic, but the English translations for these were basically, we all have trust in Mohammed bin Salman. That was a hashtag.
Yeah.
Another one was hashtag unfollow enemies of the nation.
Yep, that was a big one.
Yep. And I should say that these are hashtags that not only trended in locally in Saudi Arabia, but these also trended worldwide.
Yeah, these were number one worldwide for like a few days, right? So that takes a lot of volume to push a hashtag to number one worldwide. I know that the Twitter is pretty popular in Saudi Arabia, but to like beat out every other place for 3 or 4 days on Twitter is a pretty significant accomplishment. And that's probably what set everybody off to looking at this and going, this seems unnatural.
Right. And I saw from Ben Nemo on Twitter. He basically looked at the data as well, and he saw that the retweet proportion of these tweets that had these hashtags was something like 96%, meaning basically that, let's say, just to make things simple, 1,000 tweets were sent with the hashtag unfollow enemies of the nation or whatever.
Yeah.
Of those 1,000 tweets, 900 of them would have been retweets of the other 100 original tweets.
Yes, yep, that's exactly how that kind of works, which is
insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't normally happen, right?
No, yeah, and that's because, like I said, the easiest thing you can do to set up a bot is set up a retweet bot, right? That's the simplest like code that you can use that you can just download right off of the internet is a easy, ready to go retweet bot, and you don't have to do much about it. You know, it's ready to go. More advanced ones, ones that send out original content, that's going to require that's going to require like the bot operator to interact with that network, right? He's got to put that information in somehow or pull it from somewhere. But if you're just boosting, if you're just raising that organic tweets visibility on Twitter, you just build retweet bots and carry on with your life.
Right, right. So when we looked at this, when I spoke with you last week, basically we saw that in your data that you compiled that, if you look at it, of course, there were a lot of political Twitter bots, probably run by who knows whether it was some sort of social media firm that the Saudis paid or whether
really hard to figure out who actually runs these things.
Or it could have actually been someone who works for the crown prince or the regime themselves who hired people to set these things up, whatever. Within those political Twitter bots that probably were enough to boost it to trend in Saudi Arabia, there was something that happened that pretty much triggered these. And this is really interesting. This was where it's also pretty funny. Something got triggered that basically pushed these tweets and these hashtags into trending worldwide. Can you tell us what that was? I love this. The spam bots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the
you can't forget the spam bots.
Yeah, so like the biggest thing, the number one retweeters, of course, are going to be these pharmaceutical spam bots, right? So they're just pushing out boner pills, erectile dysfunction pills. And what was the tweet? I sent you a screen cap of...
Oh, yeah, 1 second.
Did it say? Do you remember the translation?
Well, it was obviously in all Arabic, and it was using some of these hashtags. But when you translate it, this is what it said. Here we go, everybody. Are you ready for this? This is where we're going to have a good time. Peace be upon you for those who suffer from erectile dysfunction and sexual coldness and rapid ejaculation. The solution now exists in the American company, an American product alternative, Viagra Safe and Effective 100%. You don't have to communicate with me and request the product. There you go.
That's like the majority of the thing. So what – how these kind of like commercial bots operate is that they just constantly scan Twitter for what's trending worldwide, and they'll just kind of jump in on whatever hashtags are trending, and they come in like after the fact, right? And that's what'll like push that hashtag over the – so it might be number one in Saudi Arabia, but then like this commercial pharmaceutical spam company comes in and sets their bots to – go after the top hashtags out of that country and then shoves it way over the top. And that's why it really becomes like noticeable. Right.
Right.
And there's a, I ran across the, you know, my thinking here though, is that this might be like a Saudi Arabian company. Right. And if it's a Saudi company, they want to protect their commercial interest in, you know, their U.S. relationship. So, you know, they're going to jump on any pro-regime hashtag that they can.
Makes sense.
Right? I mean, that was like the kind of how I figured they would be operating right now.
Over on the YouTube comments, BMBC mentions that the enemies of the nation theme in that hashtag was also used by Saudi bots a few months ago. If you'll recall, when Canada was beefing with the Saudi regime. I remember there was that tweet that Saudi Arabia, an official Saudi government, tweeted out an airplane flying very close to a Canadian a Canadian building, and it was basically a very weird threat. Basically,
people didn't exactly know how to interpret that. I looked at it and I was like, and I don't know what to just think about this one.
I interpret it as don't make us do another 9/11 this time to you guys, Canada.
Yeah, that's what like basically everyone, and I looked at it for a minute and I thought, it really looks like what he's saying here. I'm going to try and give him the benefit of the doubt, but yeah, that's definitely kind of the message that it was putting out.
Right. Well,
which
Josh,
was kind of funny.
Well, Josh, I think that's really the perfect place to leave this. I really appreciate you coming on and spending this time with us, and keep doing what you're doing because it's really great work. And if you ever come across anything interesting, which I'm sure you will, you know my contact information. I would love to write about it and also have you on this show again to talk about it.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for having
everybody,
me
everybody. Josh Russell, where could they find you on Twitter?
At Josh_Emerson. Emerson because, well, I don't use my last name. I tried to be anonymous at first on Twitter and it didn't work. So, yep, just find me on Twitter. I'm there every day.
Sorry about the whole anonymous thing not working out for you, Josh.
CNN slaps my face across worldwide. Well, that's out the. I had someone ask me, they were like, are you worried about your safety? I was like, well, first of all, I'm not like a dissident or like a defector from Russia. So generally, right, they reserve that sort of thing for those people.
Right.
You know,
well, maybe they're building a jail for bot hunters. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
Somewhere in Siberia.
Josh Russell, bot hunter, also famously known for his appearance on CNN's Declassified. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care, Josh.
See ya.
All right, everybody. I am going to give me a second here to pull up the bloop, bloop, there we go. Okay. I'm going to go through some of these comments, but first, you can support this show by going to patreon.com/mattbinder and becoming a patron. I only ask, well, you could really donate whatever you'd like, but I only ask usually for $5 a month. That's it. I'm not going to continue talking about the bonus content that will eventually be given to you guys because we're not at that goal yet. and I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. So when we get to that goal, you guys will get bonus content. Also, you can support this show by leaving a review on iTunes. A written review is especially appreciated because it really does help people discover the show. You just go onto iTunes, type in Doomed, click the show, and leave your 5-star review. If you'd like to leave a 5-star review, you don't have to leave a 5-star review, but I'd appreciate a 5-star review. But also, leave a written review with that. You can also support this show by, what else can you do to support this show? I don't know. Oh yeah, Doomed.tv brings you right to this YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to this YouTube channel. That way you'll get updates whenever we go live, which is usually once a week. And also, I can bump my subscriber numbers and look fancy. Also, I can't apply for monetization for the YouTube channel until I hit a certain number of subscribers. And we're not quite there yet. I should have focused more on YouTube much earlier on, instead of getting all these followers on Twitter, which, unlike YouTube, which pays you for people who watch your videos, I don't get paid for tweeting. So I really spent time on the wrong platform there, building up on the wrong platform there. Oh, well. So let's go to the comments. My life is a series of wrong moves. Internet guy asked where my Chapo boy is at. Girls, theys, whatever, internet guy said. Speaking of which, I gotta invite some of the Chapo guys on. I don't know why I said Chapo before. It's late. Some of the Chapo guys on. Renee asked, sexiest debate, Sam or Hassan Piker? Listen, they both did a good job against Charlie Kirk. Jenk got Charlie to look like an idiot during the Hassan debate. But, man, I really think, obviously, I'm biased. But Sam, obviously, was the better debater. Theo says, hell yeah, both Hunter. Oh, bot Hunter. Now I get it. Very funny, Theo. Okay. When people are like, AI is going to kill us one day, I'm like, it already is, says Theo. Renee says, might as well be automated due to the corny obviousness. Theo asked when I said IFTTT if that meant, does it mean if this, then that? And yes, it does, Theo. Theo, when we were talking about Reddit, said they're getting older though. So some boomers talking about being boomers on 4chan and red pilling their grandkids. Renee says, enter the Alex Jones is a Russian, not spoof with white Russians in Texas. Theo seemed to really enjoy this interview actually, because he was commenting things like, incredible. So freaking cool. Oh, I forgot to ask Josh this question from Theo. Does Josh speak / read Russian? I don't think he does. He mentioned he does not read or speak Arabic. So there's at least one segment of the bot world he's able to cover, but not exactly understand what they're saying without the added assist of a online translator. Not Here says that the Reddit CEO is a MAGA chud. Is he? Renee asked, any chance of left-wing bots? Which I believe I asked Josh. Which brought up Misha, Renee, going beep and chirp and making other sorts of robotic sounds. Theo, I'm not sure what he said this in relation to, but I feel like I knew that even though I did not. Something I said educated Theo today. That's always good. Theo also mentioned that the whole people accusing other human beings of being bots annoys the shit out of him. I agree, Theo. I really do. Renee says, may your bots multiply like the bounty of Allah. It's good to be king. BMBC, who gave us that Canada tip before, adds, when Canada criticized Saudi, a lot of bots were like, stop looking into our nation's affairs. Renee went on a whole little rant when we talked about the erectile dysfunction spam bots. Assalamu alaikum for you and your cock, says Renee. Thank you. That's very funny, Renee. Theo really did enjoy this interview. He was great. Thanks a lot, Josh. A very cool guest, man. You are good at this booking stuff. Thank you. I'm lucky that these people come on this show. I really appreciate them coming on. I reach out to a lot of these people. Some of them are familiar with me. Some of them are not. And I would say 9 times out of 10, the people I reach out to agree to come on the show. And I would say the one tenth of the time, it's not a straight up turn down. It's actually people just not answering or saying they would like to, but they can't for certain employer and or time related reasons. Renee says that Jenk looked like a cheap uncle. I'm not gonna say that, but I don't know how to feel about what Jenk did. I think A, he was great for doing it, for causing Charlie Kirk to have that outburst, which is hilarious to see. But also, I feel like it sort of stepped on Hassan's debate. Theo says, I did love the interview. It's true. Misha said that I don't need to read your beeps. Well, Misha, I needed to read your beeps. Because if I didn't, when it comes out soon that you actually are a bot, I wouldn't be able to go back and be like, folks, I scooped it on this show by reading that YouTube comment. I was actually ahead of the game and calling it. There was a possibility that Misha on YouTube is a bot. Now I can do that. Did I say your name right, Misha? Last time I did not. Kennedy says, Hassan looked good though. Yeah, I think Hassan, listen, I did think he was good in the debate. I was just saying that moment sort of, you know, when I hear the Sam Cedar debate being talked about, I am seeing things about certain moments where Sam Cedar owned Charlie Kirk. When I'm seeing the Hassan debate talked about, I'm seeing solely the moment where Jenk stands up and makes Charlie Kirk act like a big diaper-wearing baby that he is. You know, I wanted to open up with the, actually, but we had the guest in the line, so maybe it's good I didn't. We got as much time with him as we could. But, you know, this whole pipe bomb thing with the today, where an explosive device was mailed to the Clintons, Obama, not today, but yesterday, George Soros, also today to CNN, with the care of John Brennan, who does not work at CNN. He's a commentator at NBC and MSNBC, but I guess whoever made these pipe bombs, while savvy enough to build them, not smart enough to simply look up where their targets actually work. Seems like a pretty major thing if you're going to send, if you're going to take the time to make, to build an explosive, should probably get the address right of who you want to send them to. I believe they were sent to Eric Holder, sent to, they were all these packages for the return address had Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office. So one of them, I think it was actually Holder's, his address was wrong, so it got returned to sender, which in this case was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, so her office got evacuated. It's not crazy to see, actually. as I said earlier on Twitter, this is really should be the expected results, in many cases, the intended consequences of this sort of right-wing rhetoric making its way from the fringe decades ago. This is not a new development. Decades ago, making its way from the fringe to the broader Republican Party, and then finally to the mainstream. And, you know, we've had people like the guy who was radicalized enough by the Pizzagate nonsense to take a gun and go to a pizza place and threaten people if he wasn't shown the non-existent basement that the conspiracy purported that there was child sex slaves being held. I guess people thought that that was an outlier. No, I never thought that. What I thought was this guy was already on the conspiracy fringe. He already is lapping this stuff up and probably has been for very long. So he's just the first to crack, the first to snap. There was the guy who did the same. With a car blocking a roadway, demanding answers. I mean, the whole Jade Helm nonsense not too long ago. You know, the people who carried out violent or threatening acts when those things happened. That wasn't some sort of out of the blue or just those crazy tinfoil hat wearers. No, that's just, I mean, just really the first to crack, the first to snap, the first people to, they were already at that edge, so they already took the jump over it. I think we're probably, unfortunately, going to see a lot more of this because a lot of people are moving to that edge and they'll eventually take the leap too. It's something that if you tell people that there are, and obviously, listen, I have my own critiques of some of these people who were targeted for these explosives, but obviously I don't want to see harm come to them. I would not do anything to them. My critiques of them is, I wish you guys would support Medicare for all. I wish you wouldn't push neoliberal policy. I wish you guys would care more about climate change. I wish you didn't let the financial industry and the Wall Street bankers get away with ruining the economy and sending an entire generation, multiple young generations of Americans, basically down a hole they probably won't be able to, most of them probably won't be able to crawl out of, an entire lost generation in terms of economically where they'll stand. That's my critiques of them. And the goal of my critiques is to push the party and to give candidates who do push my policy and my ideas a step stool, a platform. On the other hand here, we have conspiracies about these people. Instead of knocking them for these legitimate things that you can knock them for and push to get these policy goals, what you have are the right saying that Hillary Clinton is involved in a child sex slave ring. And how do you stop that? You have to obviously, in their view, get violent. Because policy isn't going to stop this already illegal mafia scheme going on here. These guys think Obama is literally going to come to their homes and take their guns. How do you stop that? I mean, the Second Amendment already says that you can own a gun. So if Obama is going to get our guns anyway, how do we stop that? Well, we got to fight back. We have to be locked and loaded and ready to take action. I mean, really, this is what you get. This is what you get. And we should blame people like Newt Gingrich, who really propelled this stuff in the 90s. We should blame people like Rush Limbaugh, who has given this a platform unlike any other. We should blame Fox News for, along with Limbaugh, but via a different platform, giving this a medium, I should say, giving this a platform unlike any other. Just on a different medium. You're seeing the beginning here, folks. I mean, I know the show is called Doomed because of the stuff I cover, but the idea was that usually, for the most part, this is a legitimate look at this stuff, but because of my personality and who I am and how I go about talking about this stuff in my everyday life and how I went about talking about it on the Majority Report and how I go about talking about this stuff every day on Twitter, I have a sense of humor about it because my view is, especially in the current media industry we are in, the current basically outlook here, with so many screens and so many different services and video platforms, not even just stuff where I can post, anyone can post user-generated content, Netflix, Hulu, all the video services out there, Amazon Prime Instant Video. You're competing with tons and tons of other platforms for these eyeballs. People can only watch so much every day. There's only so much time. So for me, I always felt like, especially with things how they are, the best way to cover this stuff is to be entertaining about it. People should have a good time, I guess you can say, learning about this stuff, even if it's shitty stuff. So, the name of the show, Doomed, was always sort of tongue in cheek to me. That's why I liked it. But, I mean, I hate to be like this here, but this is the beginning. There's gonna be a lot more to this stuff, especially being that there are 2 more years of a president who, speaking of Limbaugh giving this a platform to an audience unlike any other, his specific audience, giving this that platform, and Fox News giving this platform unlike any other. You have a president who, unlike any other president, is giving this stuff a platform like any other. And I'm saying this as someone who still, by the way, ranks, I'm sure the hashtag resistance will be very mad at me, still thinks that George Bush is still the all-time worst. Trump has not approached anywhere near George Bush yet. But that being said, specifically for this type of conspiratorial garbage, for this fringe right-wing rhetoric being given this new boost that it's never seen before, Trump is doing this, and we don't know how to really deal with it, I guess. I mean, you're really gonna see more of this, I think, unfortunately. All right, a few more comments and then we'll wrap it up here. Oh, and of course, the funny thing is that all these right wingers thinking this is a false flag operation. Some of them actually thinking this because the return address was Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office, meaning they actually believe that Debbie Wasserman Schultz or one of her staff members, or maybe the working with the DNC, or who knows, sent this out to frame the right wing. Which, of course, if you're going to mail a bomb or you're going to mail, some sort of white powder, anthrax, if you're gonna mail something to injure, harm, or kill the person who's on the receiving end of the package, you want to make sure you put your return address on it. That way, even though you're going to make it really easy for the cops to find you, if it doesn't reach the intended target, you don't want it to go to waste. It should come back to you, and then you could just send it to another target. I mean, you spent all the time building that bomb or you spent all that effort seeking out anthrax. I mean, why should it go to waste, really? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ryan Tennant says, I mean, if I was a dolphin-faced diaper Nazi living in his parents' basement because the right-wing grift I run only pays me $27,000 a year, I'd be easily triggered too, talking about Charlie Kirk. Ryan continues, Matt, don't worry. Brain genius Candace Owens has already sussed out that the MAGA bomber is a false flag operation. We can all rest easily. Renee says, gritty memes. I gotta do, yeah, we got to talk about gritty on this show. Theo says, you see the Onion headline. Chuck Schumer relieved he's never taken stance meaningful enough to have someone mail him explosive. Chuck Schumer's both sides tweet was just, man, if there's, couldn't be a worse Senate minority leader right now, leading the Democrats. My God, what a fucking waste. Like, if this was a movie, and a lot of this would be so on the nose, you'd be like, man, that would never happen in real life. Chuck Schumer being the leader of the Democrats during this time is something that you would actually, like, on the flip end, be like, it's not really dramatic enough. That's not the person that would be leading, that should be leading the Democrats in this script. You want people to be, you know, you don't want it to be too perfect, but, you know, you want people to be, to feel like there's someone who's giving that call to arms to the Dems, to leading their policy battles and their rhetoric fights. Really, just just unbelievable, that guy. Sean Zone asks, what do you think about Sam's debate challenge to Steven Crowder? Listen, Steven Crowder has that photo of him. I don't remember what the original was because it's been memed so many times, but he asks people at a college campus to change his mind. So if Steven Crowder really does welcome that sort of debate on college campuses, why not extend that debate to people who have a little bit more experience in political debates? I mean, I don't know why you would just, I'm trying to think here, why you would just focus on debating college kids if you yourself were someone, you know, much older, many decades out of college. I don't know how old Steven Crowder is, late 30s, 40s, not sure. But if you're someone of that generation, why would you just focus on young college students for debate? Can't put my finger on that one. And this is not a crack at college students at all. In fact, I'm sure there are many of them who can run circles around Steven Crowder. That's not even hard to do, but I'm saying that I'm sure there's many who could even debate Sam Cedar very well. And I think Sam Cedar's a great debater. I'm just saying, I think you're playing it a little bit safe if you're only, if your open challenge for debate is only open for college students. Misha is asking if I've ever tried kombucha. Nope, never. I don't even know how to say that. Kombucha? Kombucha? I never know how to say it. I mean, I've heard the word before, but I've never said it, actually. So there you go. Ryan says, hell yeah, get Comrade Gritty undoomed. Renee says, mostly harmless Schumer. Yeah, and that Onion headline's great, by the way. Renee says, Hitler wasn't defeated by debate. Right. And with that, I think we'll leave it there. Oh, wait. We'll leave with this Dave Rogers comment. Somehow, Ben Shapiro called out people who think it's a false flag as deranged. But, you know, broken clocks are right twice a day, so grain of salt. Well, Ben Shapiro, even though he says tons of conspiratorial bullshit all the time, and is really, a lot of the times, no different than these guys, sometimes there's that little voice in the back of his head, that Jiminy Cricket, who says, you know, hey, Ben, you got to give the people something to make them think you really are that conservative intellectual.
Let your conscience be your guide, Ben. And just throw them that bone. Tell them no. It's not a false flag operation.
Yeah, that's Ben Shapiro. In a nutshell, folks. Brian says apparently Steven Crowder backed out of debating Sam at Politicon. And Wholesome Punk is telling me that it's kombucha. Thank you. And if Steven Crowder backed out of debating Sam at Politicon, I want to say, A, not surprising, and B, that's too great. That's too great. All right, folks, that is doomed for today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Patreon.com/MattBinder, doomed.tv. Catch the podcast at doomedpod.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. There's the Discord channel. Definitely let's talk in there. Oh, continue to send me your favorite leftist, progressive, whatever podcasts and YouTube channels. I still have an idea where I want to reach out to a lot of them and get something going, some sort of maybe partnership, maybe, you know, trade off, maybe guest hosting or debating or just guesting on their shows and vice versa. All right, folks, see you next time on Doomed. Left is best, says Theo.